This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark, brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Pinky Culture. He's a YouTube streamer. Pinky, it's great having you on the show.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm one of them incel guys, I would say, black pill YouTubers, but I delve into other topics as well. I like doing live streams, vlogs, shit posts, memes, things like that.
I guess to start things off, is this political compass you posted was interesting. I basically agree with all these positions as well, but you would say pro-gun rights on the libertarian side, drug legalization, immigration restriction for the right. I think you put in the different quadrants, like left libertarian.
Yeah, and then authoritarian right would be like immigration restriction.
Yeah, so immigration restriction would be authoritarian right, free healthcare authoritarian left, pro-gun rights libertarian right, and then drug legalization libertarian left. So yeah, I mean, I basically agree with those positions. It's kind of a radical center, but if you want to give like a brief intro to yourself and your political views.
Well, my views are like simple yet complex. I would say it's like it's basically populism, a mix of left-wing and right-wing populism. So depending on the issue, I end up kind of leaning with a lot of the populists. That's why my positions differ. So I don't know. When I took the test, I know the political compass test is mostly a meme. It doesn't mean much. But when I took it, I was basically like center authoritarian left. So that kind of gives off the vibe of.
Oh yeah, that's pretty close to what I got. But the thing is, like, if you're politically correct, it doesn't matter. Like, you could be center left on the compass, and you're still referred to as far right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are some libs and stuff. Some leftoids will still call you like a Nazi or whatever.
The big thing in the news is what happened with Wall Street Bets on Reddit, and Melvin Capital ended up losing out. Wealthy Finance Sears lost millions just because of a
They're
bunch
a hedge of fund,
Redditors.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is some about short selling, some kind of legal regulations. This is basically what financial elites do amongst themselves, but how it was treated because it was just done by Redditors. So yeah, it does expose a lot of the corruptions of the financial oligarchy and how legally allowed for financial elites, but not for Wall Street Bets. And then they even went as far as deplatforming on Reddit, and also some of the trading Facebook groups got deplatformed, they got taken down too, and calls for SEC to intervene. Just all the responses from establishment politicians. Elizabeth Warren, who made a big case about being anti-Wall Street, she exposed herself as a fraud for defending the interests of hedge funds.
And they want regulation, but they didn't want regulation back when these people were short-selling, they were doing all kinds of shady tactics. Right out in the open, nothing, they didn't care.
Yeah, it does basically prove that there can't be any kind of democratization of finance. So what are your overall thoughts on Wall Street Bets? And what it exposes, is it more that it exposes a financial system that's rigged, or do you think it will just lead to much stricter regulations about who can trade?
I think it's a mix of both. Yeah, it's a mix of both. So they kind of expose everything out in the open to normies about how the sausage is made, and at the same time, they want to restrict it because we started making money off that shit. Like, people, like, we're legit making thousands of dollars, you know, paying off bills, medical bills, things like that. Normal people, like, paying off their own debts with this, and they can't have that. They can't have that because it affects the billionaire class, you know. They're the ones that were making money from this for decades, so now they feel threatened by it. So, yeah, they'll now they'll get the hammer of the government to do it. And I don't know. I feel like if either restrict none of it or restrict all of it, because this is clear hypocrisy.
Yeah, I even saw that retweet from Scott Galloway. I'm not sure who he is, like some financial expert.
The excerpt.
Oh, yeah, I'll read it. What happened here? It's about sex, especially young men not having enough sex leads to relationships, obligations, and guardrails. Don't get in fights. We need you. Don't gamble your paycheck. We need you to save for a house.
So my takeaway from that tweet is he's not entirely wrong. Like that, what he said is basically the definition of the incel problem. It's basically the ethos of the incel problem. But the thing is, like, this Wall Street thing, I think, goes beyond incels, which I don't think he's entirely correct, because this is happening solely because of the incel problem. This just goes beyond them. This is, like, almost like, I call this, like, a class war. It's just a class warfare. It's like,
oh, yeah,
when they try to shut the whole thing down. And you could be a Chad, Stacey, doesn't matter if like, this is a class thing. Like, you could be whatever walks of life. It could be a Giga Chad. It could be, like, you know, Becky, whatever, like, status you have on the internet, whatever you get labeled as, it doesn't matter. Like, this is a class thing.
I think things will just get worse as far as policy goes. I'm pessimistic about anything positive happening as far as policy, but I do think it's important in exposing so many people to basically get over the idea that we're in a meritocracy and that anyone can become wealthy through hard work and education. Like, this is so, so blatant. A lot of people who maybe previously bought into those ideas are becoming kind of exposed to how the economic system is rigged.
It is. A lot of nepotism is all rigged against the little people. I mean, this is a great example.
GameStop significance, basically how the elites don't want an ownership society, and you're hearing a lot about the Great Reset, and you had a video on that, but the thing is Trump supporters will usually say that the Great Reset is communism, and then neoliberal establishment will say it's just a conspiracy theory. I mean, the Great Reset is legit, but it's basically just capitalism. Late-stage capitalism, just the oligarchy consolidating their wealth and power.
Actually, they write a statement right here about the Great Reset. I actually wrote it down. I said, "The Great Reset is the greatest wealth transfer known to man, and is happening before your very eyes. They don't want you to own anything. They want to restructure the economy in such a way that most jobs will be part-time and gigs. They will do this under the guise of freedom and being woke." Much more complex than that, but that's like the simplest way I can put it.
When Trump supporters say it's communism,
I don't want to like bash all of them, but like they're not very high IQ, so they think anything that's slightly like foreign is communism. All of it is communism. Yeah, they're still in that paradigm. They're still in that same, like, you know. It's like, they might be smart people, but, like, politically, like, they're very, like, baby brain on some of this stuff.
So the objective is, it's capitalism, late-stage capitalism, oligarchy, consolidating their wealth and power, but they might use, like, a fake left to get the working class or left-leaning economic types to buy into their agenda. But basically, it's already happened.
This has been going on since 2008.
Yeah, since the last crash, like how inequality has been consolidating, how Amazon has had record profits during the pandemic. And it's not even a conspiracy there. There's a website.
Was it Open Economic Forum? Or
yeah,
World Economic?
Something like World.
What are those, that group?
I forget which one. It's World Economic Forum or Open Economic Forum.
Those guys are behind, are basically like openly pushing for that. Like they, like basically, that's basically like a lot of rich people get together. That meme where the rich people are sitting in a round table. That's basically it. It's kind of like Comic-Con for these people. Like these events, they call it the World Economic Forum stuff. And they're talking about this in the open. It's not even a conspiracy. Like, there's basic evidence. You can look it up.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is mostly out in the open. They have their like documents. There's that commercial that's going on YouTube, a promo like "You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy." So when conservatives hear "You'll own nothing," they think communism, but that's basically just neo-feudalism, and neo-feudalism. I mean, I'm not a Marxist, but I basically agree with the Marxist theory that neo-feudalism is the end result of capitalism.
Exactly. And it's the thing, if you go at it through the different lens, the lefties think everything is fascism. So they think that, like, this great racist stuff is just fascism. It's all going to be, you know, like, neo-feudalism. It's not the same exact thing, because one is an ideology that was, like, popular in the 20th century, and that shit's basically, like, happening, what, North Korea is, like, the only, like, open, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the whole 20th century dichotomy where, yeah, like, yeah, everything is fascism or communism. It's so lame.
Yeah, those are, like, those ideologies are basically dying. Like, even China, like, decided to... They're communist in name, but they're clearly not. They're clearly, like, something. They're a completely different monster now.
Or the sort of resist libs who think that Trump is literally fascist, so we have to all support neoliberalism, it's the same thing.
Exactly, like, bro, if he was, like, Mussolini, like, Orange Mussolini, this fucking COVID shit wouldn't have happened. Because you really think that, like, a figure like that, you know, that fly?
He's way too incompetent to be a fascist.
Exactly.
It may have been someone from the establishment. Someone joked if Trump actually was Hitler, at least, like, the trains would run on time. But, like, right? I mean, yeah, our whole infrastructure is, like, totally crumbling.
Exactly.
It's a joke.
No, it's a joke, but it's basically true. And I'm not saying I advocate for that ideology, because all of this 20th century, like, you know, ideology that's just killed a lot of people. Like, the triangle ideology is basically communism, fascism, and liberalism.
You have to reject all three of them.
They're all basically, like, dead ideologies, and all of it are crumbling.
I remember going back during the Bush era, you had a left that was for civil liberties and anti-war, and the left is pro-war now, and then you see this kind of blatant hypocrisy, all the stuff that happened last year with Black Lives Matter and the protests and the rioting, and now after the recent Capitol Hill riots, like, they basically flipped the switch, and the...
Now they want a Patriot Act, they want full Patriot Act, they want, like, you know, was it... I saw in your questions was Biden's domestic terror bill. That's just Patriot Act 2. That's, like, George Bush tier.
Patriot Act, but woke as well, you described it.
Yeah, and, like, Antifa, like, is going to bite them in the ass, too, like...
Antifa is already being deplatformed.
Yeah. They're deplatforming Antifa on Twitter and stuff, but, like, I'm talking about, like, throwing them in jail type shit, not just deplatforming stuff.
You posted that video, I think it may have been before Biden's inauguration, but, yeah, we are going to see, like, similar to what happened after 9/11. I remember, like, Black Lives Matter, it was supposed to be, like, the left was saying they're critical of the police, but we're going the opposite direction. We're going to see greater militarization of the police, more an overall crackdown on civil liberties.
All this money that was raised for, like, the past year, it doesn't really mean much. I think the most it did is bail some people out, and those people, like were, like, destroying shit anyways. Like, that's what you accomplished. It was no, like, I think they passed some laws, but no, actually, no, I don't think they even passed laws. They were just considering passing laws on the police stuff, police behavior, police brutality shit. And it's funny because I'm not a lulber libertarian, but, like, they've been advocating about this police stuff, like, decades before libs started saying that shit. You know what I'm saying? They've been warning the libs. They didn't listen. They were like, oh, my 9/11, my Nazis, these brown Muslims, like, all this shit, the Muslims. Ted Kaczynski, there was a news article I saw, like, his old newspaper article, basically after the Unabomber shit went down, that basically said, your neighbor might be a domestic terrorist. It unironically said that neighbor is set to spy on your neighbor.
I think some people are acting like it's something new, and maybe to a degree it is a lot worse.
Dude,
but it is, in a sense,
Kaczynski,
it is going
there
back.
Was all kinds of...
So during the Clinton era, there was this kind of justification. There was the Patriot Movement and militia types, and the justification of a crackdown on civil liberties because of those domestic threats. So basically, I think the degree of how bad things are as far as cracking down on civil liberties are probably going to be worse. But I just see the Biden administration as just a repetition of the past under Clinton.
Yeah, and it's funny because There was an attack in the Capitol in the 80s led by this woman. I forgot her name, but she's been some kind of like radical feminist type or some shit. And she got pardoned by Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No one's even heard of her.
She has ties to like BLM organization and stuff like that. Like, she has ties to that, though, the BLM organization. I think not just that, she has like a high position, like some kind of president of something. I don't know. This is weird. Like, the fact that they have this much money and like, this feels like, this feels astroturf, the whole thing. Just, not just the policies. I'm talking about like these grassroots, like these supposedly grassroots movements, Democratic Socialists of America and like BLM and Antifa, like all of them have a lot of big money behind it. NRA is a good example, like the NRA, that they're a lobby group, they collect a lot of money from and stuff like that. Like, these guys are like, they all of it is just like, they pay themselves basically. And
yeah, that was true with, you saw that with like the Tea Party in the 2010s being sponsored by these big corporate donors like Coke, and then you saw the Occupy Wall Street kind of devolved into, it started out as something that was economic based and then devolved into woke politics. And then you saw that with the Democratic Socialists getting behind AOC, and she basically completely supports neoliberalism and tech censorship. So it's all...
I gotta say something about this, the AOC stuff. Jimmy Dore, who's a comedian, a YouTube type comedian, this guy is like, used to be Young Turks, used to be part of the Young Turks. And this guy said, like, to AOC and the squad and stuff, like, she should, like, stand up to Nancy Pelosi and say, like, if we're not going to have Medicare for All or whatever, consider, like, a Medicare for All bill. Like, some kind of symbolic gesture, at least. You know, like, they're not going to consider, because they're Congress people, so they're not going to consider, like, voting, you know, Pelosi in. It's some kind of, he basically did some kind of ultimatum. And she decided not to do that. She just let the neoliberals get their way, and then she's kind of like on Twitter, oh, you know, this is not the time for that, oh, this and that, oh.
Are you from New York? Are you in her district?
Yeah, I am from New York, yeah. From her district. Isn't she like from the Bronx?
I think the Bronx, but possibly part of Queens, too.
Oh, no, I'm not from, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm glad I never had to run into her.
Looking at the Capitol Hill riots, how the police brutality issue is covered, so are you mostly just critical about the woke left, or do you think the conservatives have their own double standards about police brutality as well?
Oh, they do. I mean, they're all like, blue lives matter, blue lives matter, and then next thing you know, look what happens. Look what happens when his shoe's on the other foot. And I'm like, I consider myself like law and order overall, but the hypocrisy of like both sides is so funny. Like, for me, a populist movement is more of like, we, like, for example, the what we did to Wall Street was technically completely legal in the books. We didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong by going on my phone and buying stock. But it had much more of an effect than all this, like, blowing up your, like, the deli or something. And also with this capital raid, like, are you in, like, what is that? That doesn't accomplish really anything. It's more money because they the insurance went up and they had to, the insurance, like, you have to pay billions overall, and your tax dollars has to pay for the government buildings, and it just overall just doesn't really have the same effect as like a regular protest or some kind of, you know, like what we did with the Wall Street stuff.
So you do think, like, that Trump had a role in this?
Yeah, he might have been. I think he's another like neo-lib just pretending he's a populist, like, you know, populist conservative figure, stuff like that. He's just, I don't know. There's no way this guy is that dumb. And this all feels so, like, kayfabe. Like, they try to make it, like, the whole Marvelization of everything, where it's, like, everything's, like, compared to a movie now, and everything's, like, oh, we defeated this guy, and everything's all movie analogies. Harry Potter, you know, all this, like, soy-tier comparison.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, right, like, that's what it feels like. Like, these people, it feels so, now it feels so fake. I'm not saying politics is fake, because obviously they pass laws that affect your daily life, your material conditions. But this, like, timing of everything, and, like, just the way things went down, and he just, like, at first it's like, oh, let it happen, you know, whatever. And then all of he's like, oh no, these people should be. And he passed a law that if you.
Oh, yeah, it's just the Monument Act to protect 10 years in prison for destroying a statue, yeah.
Yeah, so it feels like Trump created, like, the biggest honeypot, one of the biggest honeypots in American history. Like, you know what a honeypot is, right?
For the audience, yeah.
It's some kind of trap that feds or CIA, like, government had set up to catch certain people that are more likely to commit domestic crime.
It's hard to really get behind, like, the motive, like, what behind Trump, but if someone who is high more, like, I'm not necessarily a conspiracy theorist, but if I were to assume that, then maybe if someone who was conspiracy-minded might say Trump was intentionally, like, a plant from the establishment, neoliberalism, to undermine populism.
Yeah, because if you want to call yourself a populist in 2021, you have to explain, like, I'm not this guy, I'm not that guy, I'm not that guy. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I think another thing is with populism is the way political parties are structured. So like, in the beginning of the show, we talked about the political compass. Like, there's no way for right-wing populist or left-wing populist to merge together. With the way the two-party system is structured, right-wing populists have to caucus with, like, Reaganite conservatives and Republican Party, and then left-wing populists have to caucus with woke neoliberals and the Democratic Party, so it basically has that effect.
Yeah, that's why politicians like Tulsi Gabbard and Andrew Yang, you know, they're, like, Democrats, like, they were very favorable in the populist circles. And so I will say some people on the right, I guess, but not as much, because a lot of the right is just, like, you know, neo-lib types, neocons. Oh, I like calling them all neo-libcons.
Tulsi Gabbard still seems to be outspoken, fairly anti-establishment. Yang was more anti-establishment in the beginning, but he sort of he wants to rise up in the Democratic Party, so he has to kind of work within that crowd.
Yeah, I feel like he's playing the game.
Yeah.
Tulsi doesn't care because she doesn't care because she's too busy going to, like, the army or whatever she does, and then she has other shit to do. Like, she doesn't care if she loses, per se, because, if she loses, whatever, she could just go back to surfing and going to the army or something, and then Yang wants to have his eyes on. He wants to be mayor of New York. Like, that's a big position. Like, that's, like, the world. New York, like, the mayor of New York is something like other people from other countries watch.
It will be interesting to see how successful he'll be. And he does have some interesting sort of out of the box economic proposals. You're hearing about New York in decay and decline. From, like, where you are, are you seeing a lot of, like, is there a rise in crime and overall, like, decay, or is the media hyping it?
No, they're statistically, yeah, there's been overall, like, rise in crime, and as for the decay, like, a lot of stores shut down, a lot of shit shut down, some parts look depressing, but I could say the streets are a little bit cleaner. I will say that, like, I went to Not particularly my neighborhood. My neighborhood is a little more lively than if you go to, like, Manhattan, because there's different boroughs and shit. So you go to the city, Manhattan, like, where everything is. The streets are a little cleaner, but everything looks mostly dead. Like it's not. There's still people out now, but, like, there was a point where there was no one. They look like a ghost town and shit. A lot of people are moving. A lot of people are leaving. So I want to say, like, it's like in the movies where, like, it's super decaying and it's like it's over 100%, the city's not gonna exist. No, but, like, it got pretty bad. Like, we got hit hard.
Did the riots impact where you were?
Not where I am, but, like, parts of it, but it was definitely, like, the states that got affected the most was not New York. I think it was Minnesota.
Minneapolis, yeah. And Portland.
Portland, because that's where I don't think so.
Yeah, just kind of looking at these overall trends of neoliberalism, like, just looking at the handling of the COVID stimulus, and most of it is basically pork to bail out corporations or state governments. Trump failed to deliver like a large enough stimulus. But now it seems Biden is not really going to do, he might do slightly better, but it seems like he's more concerned about getting Harriet Tubman on the 20 than he is about the stimulus. And that's just, I mean, yep. That's kind of symbolic of like peak neoliberalism.
And I had this theory that like the stimulus is going to have a lot of, they probably might have to reorganize it specifically for Wall Street because of what went down. So they want more Gibbs now because, all these people on Reddit, like they screwed us. So we have, you know, so I think the next stimulus is going to have like a specific bailout clause. Like, you know how they divide the money, right? Like, if it's $1 trillion, out of those $1 trillion, a certain like a couple hundred billion is gonna go to Wall Street and shit, so they could recuperate that, and it's gonna go to like whatever foreign aid, the usual shit, and then you might get corrupt. You might get like $1,400 at most, or $1,000.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure the specific percentage, but I could see something like only 10-15% actually goes to the direct stimulus.
Yeah, I mean that's my theory. I'm not saying 100% this is gonna happen, but like, with what's going on, it seems very suspicious that these people like are asking for tax dollars right after like they, you know, Wall Street people asking for your tax dollars right after this shit happens, and then they're gonna pass a stimulus soon. So yeah, what if this whole thing was one big op? Funny. I'm glad people made money though. Like, I'm glad people actually made money off this shit.
The amount of like entitlement from these financial figures is pretty hysterical.
Yeah, and they call us entitled.
There's that video going around, I forget who it is, some CEO who made a name for himself back in the Occupy Wall Street days saying, yeah, basically blatantly saying that.
That's just, Jesus, like, I don't know.
Do you subscribe to the Black Pill philosophy? How would you describe that? It's basically saying that one's lot in life is determined by circumstances that one is born into, and there's limitations to self-improvement.
Yeah, overall, yeah. I'm not saying like you're never gonna succeed if you're born with certain circumstances, but when it comes to like dating market, for example, like a lot of it has to do with your height, face, your race. I know the just be white thing, social status, all that shit, and also like overall charisma. Like, obviously, the confidence meme is that in order to have confidence in the first place, you need to succeed at something. And a lot of people, like, if you don't have that, like, first start, then it's kind of over. So it's that, like, if it's just, like, it gets more shit stacked against you. So, yeah, you basically, statistically speaking, there's going to be more, there already is a lot more incels. Thanks to what's going on, as well as just general life. And you started seeing this effect in Japan, and it later started happening in the West, like almost like to the T. Like, everything that went down is starting to happen here in the West.
Oh yeah, with the hikikomori and the neat phenomenon. Yeah, all that. A lot of the people who promote self-improvement, do you think a lot of them are grifters or snake oil salesmen?
Yeah, like, they call themselves, like, the red pill alpha, whatever, alpha male, sigma male, whatever they call themselves, the guru types that, try to sell you snake oil. Yeah, you see them on the internet. There's some channels that make fun of those guys. Like, forgot the name of this guy, but he makes fun of this
Coach,
kind of people.
Coach Black Pill?
Oh, okay, this is funny. Coach Red Pill is one of those guys, and then there was a guy called Coach Black Pill who kind of started, like, doing the opposite, but then he kind of became, like, I don't know what happened to that guy, but he went full, like, lib mode. He went full lib. He just went full lib. Like, I don't know.
I don't think he fully identifies with the philosophy. I guess he presents himself as more nuanced, or you could say, like, purple pill.
Yeah, I would say that, but, like, he started saying that they don't censor the right. He started saying, oh, internet censorship isn't a problem. He started saying, like, oh, you know, like, just move to a different city, bro. Like, doing the whole, like, I don't know, he kind of went, like, he kind of became what he originally made fun of. Like, I used to love his channel back in when it kind of first started, because it was a breath of fresh air. It was like this Black Pill guy, but he was kind of more positive, and he tried to, like, use the science and also, like, say it's not completely over, but, like, there's more nuance, which I'm completely cool with, but he went full like the other direction. He just went full blue pill almost on some, and it just felt like I was just watching like some 2018 incel hate video, like fuck these guys, like the people that subscribe to him basically started just shitting on him. That's how I feel about people like Coach Blackpill and also Monday Blue, who just, I don't know what happened to that guy. It turns out he wasn't kind of fed. A lot of the community kind of like I don't like being involved in the community anymore because a lot of them turn out to be grifters and stuff. And
so you posted this video of Tucker Carlson on the incel economy, but yeah. I don't think this gets discussed enough, but how significant is the economic component? He talks about the different economic fields based on gender.
So this is not talked about much in politics, nor is it talked about much in the black pill circles. Black pill circles, they got a lot of stuff right, but they don't want to talk about the economics because they don't want to talk about politics. A lot of them don't want to go there because they might alienate some of the audience, because incel audiences are very different. They vary politically, right? So they don't want to go there. But a huge chunk of it has to do with economics. So Tucker Carlson, who's like a mainstream kind of Fox News figure, just basically saying like the incel economy thing, which is weird because I didn't expect like some mainstream people to start talking about.
He gave the example of a lot of these economically devastated towns in the Rust Belt, how the only jobs left are government jobs like education and healthcare.
Exactly. That's just, you're flooding the market. Like, if there's that little jobs, it's going to create more and more needs. It's going to create more insults. It's going to create more crime, all that shit. And this is the thing, there are places that are not affected economically like that, like let's say New York City, like big cities where they're thriving, but the disparities between the rich and poor also are a problem and creates incels and more isolation, because at least in small towns, you know, like you know your neighbor, that kind of thing. So there's also that effect too. It's not just the Rust Belt getting affected by it. It's just people living in thriving metropolis, and they could, you know, the GDP looks great, there's businesses everywhere, all this shit, and there's still a huge amount of incels. Look at Japan, like consider one of the most successful countries in Asia, and they were the proto incels.
So right now there's talk of how there was a manned session about a decade ago after the last financial crash, and with the post-pandemic economy there's talk of a she session. A lot of women who are working in the service sector. Do you think that those trends matter?
Well, that's a problem for women. You know, like they're not gonna be working and stuff. So I guess that could be a problem for the libs. They're gonna have to find a way to get these people employed, right? Because they don't want that either. Because they don't want women being at home. They don't want that. Gotta find ways around it, like OnlyFans shit went way up, you know, things like that, like online sales and more people might start their own business or whatever, but what's gonna happen is probably just they're gonna like get money from government and stuff.
With the last financial crash with disproportionately impacted men, like there was an inadequate response to take care of those economic solutions, but because of like the woke climate, I could see, I think it was maybe Australia or New Zealand, like there was, the stimulus was like a gender-based affirmative action, so I could see something like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because like, I saw this post on leftist Twitter, they said like, oh, what will be your job on the commune and stuff, and a bunch of women were saying, I'm going to cook, I'm going to like, basically the equivalent of like 1950s housewife shit. And these are like progressive, like leftoid kind of women saying, "Oh, the commune, in the commune, we're gonna like, I'm gonna make cheddar some, like, was it, churn some butter? Like, what the fuck, bruh, this is the level we're at. Like, everything is upside down. Everything went like the switch, someone becoming like full trad, and then like the populace becoming full trad, and then like the libs are going like into freaking turn into like Rockefeller for all of a sudden, like it's like fucking
like the positions that would be considered leftist 20 years ago are now right wing. But it just seems like overall with this pandemic, it literally like accelerated the time travel decade into the future.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we this has accelerated everything. And it's like, as almost like the reason why I prefer Yang, even though he's basically an accelerationist, is because I'd rather have him than like these, even though Yang is very Reddit tier.
I think personally, he has on a personal level, Yang, because based on his book, The War of Normal People, he has a pretty good understanding of human nature, but he sort of pays lip service to the wokeness, but I don't think he's like totally committed personally. He just has to go along with it.
I know, but by accelerationist, as he really like the stuff he's saying is basically more futuristic than what the most politicians are saying. Like all of his ideas are like, when we were talking about them, we're like 10 years ahead in the future, like what was gonna probably gonna happen.
Yeah, like with the pandemic really vindicated the case for UBI.
And remember, all the stuff he was saying was before the pandemic.
Yeah, it was before the pandemic. But I think his ideas about automation is accelerating now with the pandemic, so yeah, his ideas have been vindicated.
True, but I'd rather have him over these adrenochrome drinking, like, fucking boomer politicians in New York. You know, I'd rather have, like, Ain't Though Yang, like, he might have to, like, do some neo-lib shit, whatever. I'd rather have him than, like, all the other, like, you know, soulless corporatized New York City politicians, you know.
Have you backed candidates in the past, or you mostly avoid electoral politics?
So, I donated to Yang once for the lulz, and then, like, I kept getting emails and stuff. I had to, like, unsubscribe. I still get emails, even though I clicked unsubscribe. I don't know how to get rid of that shit. I keep getting DNC shit, just because I donated to Yang once. I used to be, like, a big Bernie bro back in 2016.
And Bernie, I never voted for Bernie, but I was sympathetic to him in the beginning. But, like, it's hard to say if he's, I would say he's genuine based on his long record in the Senate, but I just think he's pathetically weak. Like, his reaction, his outright support for the neoliberal establishment, and, like, basically no demands on policy to the Biden administration, Bernie came out looking pretty pathetic this year. But I was sympathetic to him in 2016.
He's full on cock. Like, the alt-right, as much problems I have with them, they were right about him being cock. I mean, the guy basically, like, completely cucked himself on political issues as well, like immigration, for example. He went full neo-lib there. Like, he used to be, like, talk against it. He used to be like, oh, no, this is affecting labor. This is affecting, like, the wages, overall median wages, all these things. And if you have, like, well, he said if you have open borders, you're not going to have a nation state. And all of a sudden, now
yeah,
it's all,
he called,
like,
open borders a Koch brothers conspiracy.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's all, like, you know, was it this, no, we don't want, they don't want ICE, they don't want, like, anything. They don't, well, abolish ICE, and then was it open borders now, that shit.
You had a video if you didn't get laid in adolescence. Like, what are your thoughts on a self-improvement ascension, the age pill, and do you think there's like a tipping point in life where you get beyond a certain age that there's limitations to self-improvement?
So that video I made in 2018, so like,
oh, right.
I think it was 3 years ago now. Yeah, because I made that shit like, I'm not sure, it was two and a half years or something. Like, obviously, like, it was, I was half joking, but there's some truth to it in the sense that, like, if you didn't get laid in your teens, like, you're gonna have a harder time to adapt. And I think I wrote down, okay, so if you didn't get laid in your teens, which is a huge part of your life that is crucial for your social growth, self-improvement works, but statistically there are going to be more incels, and no matter how much they try to improve, their life is over. And then I think I wrote, online dating has become dating. So now, like, the dating market is, like, mostly online. The whole going to the bar thing, meme is basically dying, and it's, yeah, you might meet up at a bar, but how did that meetup happen in the first place? You probably met them on social media or or a dating app and shit, and then you probably met up at a bar. So, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Like they, so statistically, it will probably say something like, "Oh, it's half and half" or 60-40. But I think it's much more than that, because a lot of people don't like admit that, like, yeah, it was mostly internet.
The PUA scene that emerged about maybe 10 to 15 years ago, but that's obsolete now because the whole idea of going out and hitting on someone at a bar, that's obsolete. The internet trends with more people spending more time online.
Self-improvement stuff, I want to say, I'm not against it. Obviously, you should like improve whatever, you know, as much as you can. But I'm saying statistically speaking, there's still going to be incels. There's still going to be people like that. It's completely old for them no matter what they do. And they're statistically, like, out of people that might be incels now, they might ascend tomorrow, or they might, you know, be in a relationship tomorrow. You never know. So,
like, it's the same with economics. Like, the system is so invested in the, I think the idea that anyone can succeed through hard work is so ingrained. So, I think the more people reject that mentality, I think that could, I don't know if it would make an impact. I think that idea was so ingrained in our culture the second half of the 20th century, but I think more people are realizing it's bullshit.
Yeah, so there's a big comparison between the incel stuff and our real-world economy. You could ascend. You could be from poor to rich, the rags to riches stuff. That could totally happen to a lot of people. You could go from complete incel to Chad, or complete incel to, like, normie tier, or whatever, you know, be fine. A lot of people, you know, fall under the cracks, and that happens.
Yeah, there's cases of it, but it's not the norm. They're, I wouldn't say rare, but it's maybe 10% of cases. It's not the norm.
Right. And also, like, the factors, as I said, the you know, as I said, race and height and things like that, and face. And the just be white meme doesn't mean that if you're white, like, you're not incel. That's not what it's saying. The thing is, like, okay, so statistically speaking, I would say half of incels are non-white. And they're all, and most of them are living in white majority countries, like, you know, U.S., Europe, U.S., Australia, U.K., Canada, you know, Ireland, whatever, right? France.
Yeah, you had a video about the race pill statistics in online dating. There's JBW theory. Then there's also the stereotype that most incels are white males with right wing.
The media love doing this shit.
Yeah, they do,
try to
yeah.
paint them as like
that Law and Order episode,
white
yeah.
male, right wing, you know, all this shit. When most of them have like diverse political opinions, half of them are not even white, and they're living in majority. Again, they're obviously in majority white countries. You're gonna have like maybe more than 50% white incels, but it's mostly like 60-40 or even like 50-50 or
if you look at the youth population that's say under 35, I'd say maybe about half are non-white, so that roughly represents the overall demographic. Like, I'm not sure, it's hard to say, like, there's stereotypes, but it's hard to say if there's some
right.
some ethnic
and that's in the
that
US
are...
like in Europe, like, it's even more white in Europe, and there's, for example, London is like considered like the incel capital, and a lot of places in Europe have a lot of incels, and again, a lot of them are non-white, despite Europe having the most of the white population. So,
do you think migrations, so like immigrants coming in Europe, but also here, they're disproportionately lower status, but because of the gender imbalances, that's bound to have an impact.
Yeah, it will. Like if for example, you have low status people, mostly males. If you have a lot of males, it's gonna create a gender imbalance, and at the same time, it's gonna create problems with wages. It's gonna overall deplete wages even more than they already are. That's why a lot of immigration restriction is like a lot of them are. I see a lot of them rising online because a lot of them are saying like, look, we're not alt right. We're not like all these, you know, like the reason they're for restricting that is mostly for economic reasons.
I think the strongest support for mass migrations from those who are wealthiest or those who are ideologically left wing, it's not as racially polarized as people assume.
Exactly. And it's like, so I think if You could. I think that in politics, like if there was a maybe a Republican that leans left on economics, but like right on everything else, or a Democrat that's might lean right on some issues like I said, immigration and guns or whatever. I think they'll win a lot of support because you can't pinpoint them, and also the immigration meme, it's much more. Obviously, it's a complex issue, but like the reason why they're pushing for it is because they don't care about like, cause I myself am Hispanic, right? So they don't care about people like me.
So where was your family originally from?
I'm half Colombian, half Dominican, so they're all from like South America.
Sort of like the media's made it polarized by race.
Right. So the reason that the race thing is because that's how they're divided in politics. Like they did that first with whites with the Southern strategy. They try to divide into groups so it's easier to win elections. So the media has to shape itself around that by highlighting those innate differences, right? So that's how they do it. Like the media has to center itself around the political scene, and that's easier for politicians to go by certain groups and stuff. And that's basically how they do it. Like, there's obviously the media is colluding with the major politicians, so they're obviously gonna boost certain stories like that in order to gain support.
We're at the end of the show. Pinky, do you have anything else you'd like to add? And do you want to plug your YouTube stream or any other website or social media?
Right. So subscribe to Pinky Culture. Just type Pinky Culture on YouTube. I'm on Twitter, Pinky Culture, Instagram, Pinky_Culture. Just type Pinky Culture and like on Google, like the first thing I'll show all my social media and my YouTube channel. Not that hard to find. So yeah, I think we got all the bases covered. One thing you forgot to mention was the Huey Long thing.
Oh yeah, the Huey Long meme is that's going around as a populist icon.
This 1930s populist icon from like politician who got assassinated. I think he was. I don't know who killed him, but apparently he's been trending on trending in some online circles. He's been the talk of the town as of late, and I'm like, wow, this guy from like 100 years ago or some shit.
Yeah,
his
idea, his platform, it was share the wealth, but it's different. You have to kind of understand nuance because he wanted to create an actual ownership society. That's a bit different than the kind of leftism where just the state bureaucracy runs everything.
He actually talked against communism and fascism. He was against both of them,
and he was against liberalism and capitalism. So yeah,
exactly. So he was against all that shit. He was like a normal populist, and yeah. So I think he was a threat to the powers that be because this guy wasn't like full commie, but at the same time, like he wasn't like a free market tier guy. Yeah, I just wanted to like end it with that because that's an interesting figure people should look up. You should Google Huey Long. You're going to go through a rabbit hole, different videos, clips, the quotes, all you can find. Because that guy's been the talk of the town as of late.
Pinky Culture, it's been an excellent show. Thanks for being on.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.